Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
Hello, my name is
What a bunch
Schmidt.
Of crybabies.
Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
What's up, Schmidt? Hello, hello.
All right, I'm Schmidt. That's Webb. And we are the Wager Makers. And this is the Wager Makers Podcast. Thank you for joining us. You can catch us on Facebook, the Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter, at the Wager Makers, and Instagram, at the Wager Makers. We're on all the places you check out podcasts. We're on Apple, Spotify, Podbeam, Stitcher, Google Play, all the places. We also have a YouTube channel now. You can check us out on our YouTube channel and listen to all our shows right there. So, Webb, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, man? We're going big time. YouTube, baby.
YouTube. You got that, man. We got to be cutting edge. We're cutting edge
that's,
over here.
That's right. A couple of faces for radio. We got to get some makeup done.
No doubt. So welcome to our NFL football kickoff edition. We're going to be going over each NFL game. We're going to be making some predictions. We're going to be looking at the point spreads, totals, get you all the information you need. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about, just so you know, it's Sunday morning. We're coming off a pretty rough Saturday with the college football. We won a few early. We went 2-2 early and then had a tough one late. Webb, did you catch the, I know you did, the ending to the Auburn-Oregon game last night?
I sure did, man. That was a gut punch right there. That was a rough one. It was set up perfect. We just needed you take a knee, let that 6'5" kicker go out there, put it through the uprights, and we'll take the cover. But Patrick Nix, I got to admit, he made a fan out of me. Ballsy kid. That was a big throw, and all we needed is a I was saying all along how Oregon was going to be this less finesse, more smash mouth football, and all that corner had to do was get that guy down on the 1 yard line. Even when they completed the pass, they would have kicked the field goal and we would have been fine. But that was a hard one, man. It took me a while to get to sleep after that. That was some shit right there.
Right. We're feeling a little better about it today, but I know last night Webb was cursing at me on a text message and everything else. So I was pissed off. So, it's one of those things where, you've seen this kind of stuff happen so many times. There's no reason for it. If you've been gambling long enough, the team, Oregon was rolling early, but didn't really take control like they could have in the points. And then it comes down to the end and Auburn's coming down. All they need is a field goal. So you're like, all right, just get, I don't care what happens. We're getting the 3.5 points. All you have to do is get in field goal range. And then sure enough, this kid throws a deep pass. And then it's about the 3-4 yard line. All the guy has to do, man, if he just drags him down, makes a tackle, they kick the field goal, game's over. But, didn't work out that way. He breaks the tackle, gets into the end zone. Our 3.5 is shot. It was a rough day. Brad Bohannon's been talking about Missouri football for a few months to me, and they didn't work too good last night. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead. I was all like, oh, man, Brad's kicking ass. This Missouri team's looking pretty good. And he said to be on a show after Missouri got to 8-0, he was going to be on a show. Well, I think it might be a while till he gets on
there. See you next year.
They lost to Wyoming, so we'll see what happens with that.
Schmidt.
Yo.
Let's dial it back. That last play of the Oregon game.
Yeah.
They get the ball back. The kid runs the ball to the 35-yard line. There's, I don't know, 3 seconds left. So we figure we got a Hail Mary. How about the number? This guy's going to be a top 5 pick in the draft. The dude throws it through the uprights. He throws it into the first row. He can't even throw the ball into the end to give us, one last glimmer of hope.
Just one last smidgen of hope. You think, look, if we can lose this game getting 3.5 with – whatever it was, maybe 10 seconds left.
Nine seconds
left. And then the dude gets – it was a big run back. He almost broke it, the kickoff. Yep. Almost breaks it. So you're like, oh, shit, man. And it wasn't a long Hail Mary because the dude was able to throw.
I think
almost threw it into the first round of the damn seats.
First row,
man. Yeah, so, you're like, man, if I can lose a game this easy, certainly maybe we can pull this out. We still have Oklahoma tonight. We got Notre Dame tomorrow night. We'll see how it turns out. But that was a tough loss. We knew we went 2-2 early. We did a good job. I thought, man, Weber's on a roll, man. He had Utah Thursday night. He even went out on a limb with his Rutgers Scarlet Knights on Friday. And Rutgers started out bad early, man. They were getting beat by UMass.
That was another profanity-laced text message you got on that one.
Webb, hang tough. It's early. These teams are just getting their legs under you. It's early. The first game of the season, sometimes it takes a little while to get your feet under you a little bit. Well, unfortunately, that's what happened to Auburn yesterday. It took them a little while to get their feet under them, and then they got their feet under them and kicked us right in the ass.
That's right.
All right. So just so you know, the next episode will be all things college football, week number 2. We'll be talking a lot more about some of the games that went on this weekend. And also, we're going to have a special segment next week. We're going to have some guests from MMA Tribune website, and they're going to be talking about UFC 242. So I know some of you guys out there have been asking us about covering some UFC, so we're going to do a little bit about UFC 242. So let's get right into the NFL. This is our NFL kickoff show, so let's get right into this. So we're going to start with some predictions, Webb. Maybe we'll go
all right,
division by division, and give you a little take on who we think might come out of division. We're even going to give some Super Bowl picks here, so maybe if you got some long shot Super Bowl picks, maybe we'll see how it goes. So we'll start in the AFC, Webb, up your area.
Okay.
This is the division that gets the same pick probably every year. The AFC East. What do you see going on in that division?
Well, Miami obviously has mailed it in. The trades, yes, they got rid of Tunsil, Kenny Sills. I guess they're just stockpiling some picks here. Obviously, they punted on this season, not even starting Rosen. So they're probably be the worst team in the entire league. This is going to be the easiest division we go. The Patriots are going to win this going away. You're probably looking at 12 wins. Maybe they'll lose one if they lose one division game. Losing that center hurts. The worst thing for Brady is to have some pressure in his face. We saw that from those giant Super Bowl losses. But this is easy. They're going to win going away. And I think actually the Jets got a shot at 9 wins, something like that. So I think they'll be second. And then Miami way back. And then Buffalo maybe 8-8, something depending. But that's kind of how I see that division playing out. This is the easiest one.
Yeah, I agree. That's you know, how can you pick against Tom Brady and the Patriots until somebody actually knocks them off? I do think the Jets and Bills are going to be much improved this year. Both of their quarterbacks are rolling into their second year, and I agree with you with Miami. I think maybe the Jets and the Bills might battle for a, like you said, 9-7. Maybe battle for a wild card spot. Those teams open up in week 1 against each other, so that'll be an interesting matchup to see where those teams are at. I agree with you about Miami. They're already selling guys off. They traded Tunsil and Kenny Stills yesterday, and you know they brought in Rosen. I know he would have been given every possible opportunity to start as a young guy with a upcoming with a building team, and they went ahead and announced yesterday that Fitzpatrick will be playing for them. So I think they have no clue about what they're doing going forward, and they know it's time to just sell off. And I think, man, nothing worse than to be a Dolphins fan right now and know that your team's already looking to next year. So that's rough. But there's no way you can pick against Tom Brady at this point with any of those teams until somebody actually does. We'll go out west in the AFC and look at the AFC West. That's the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Raiders. What do you see going on there?
The biggest thing when I'm looking at that, the injury to Derwin James is just devastating for the Chargers. I mean, to get to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl, a championship at any level, you got to be healthy, number one, and lucky, number two. Obviously, luck you can't do too much about, but that injury to Derwin James, I think, just deflated them completely, locker room, and not just forget about his physical, you know, what he brings on the field, just in the locker room, I'm sure that devastated them. And then Joey Bosa is always hurt too, so I'm apprehensive about them. I think they'll probably finish second still, but Kansas City's going to take this fairly easily, I think. They traded. Carlos Hyde, which I thought was weird. I thought it would hurt them come playoff time, especially with Andy Reid's dislike for running the ball. They kind of have to control the ball, especially with that defense they have. But then I think they picked up Shady McCoy last night, so that puts them right back kind of in the same spot. I think they're one of the better teams in the entire league. They'll win this division pretty easy. Raiders will bring up the rear. And then you're a little bit higher on the Broncos than me. I think they'll be okay. You know, maybe 8-8, something like that. But they'll finish third, and then again the Raiders on the bottom.
Yeah, right. A lot of people are picking the Chiefs to win this division. I do like the Broncos. I don't know that they'll win the division, but I think they'll give Kansas City a big run. I think with Von Bell and Chubb coming off the edges, that's one way to slow down Mahomes a little bit. I like their running game with Philip Lindsay, the young guy. I also like Flacco. Delaware Blue Hens. I like Flacco, so I think I think I know a lot of people are high on Kansas City. I say watch out. I think the Denver Broncos are primed to make a comeback. They have a really good defense, good running game, and they actually have a strong what I feel like is a strong veteran quarterback back there. Move on to the AFC North. You know, that's the always a tough division. We got the Ravens, the Steelers, and the upcoming Browns and the Bengals this time. How do you feel about that one?
It's a tough one. It's going to be one of the harder fought divisions. We did talk about the Steelers in earlier episodes. You know, it's kind of they're flying under the radar. I think Big Ben was a little embarrassed. A lot of the stuff they say about him in terms of leadership, I think, is probably true. Doesn't diminish anything he's done on the field. They're certainly going to miss Antonio Brown's production, but they're not going to miss any of that bullshit in the locker room whatsoever. Cleveland, I'm high on, as we've discussed. I think they have talent all over. Maybe with the one exception being the offensive line, but they're more than adequate. Baltimore is always tough, but they are losing some guys on the defense. I'm not as high on Lamar Jackson as some others. And Cincinnati is kind of floundering. I think they finally did the right thing and get rid of Marvin Lewis, but they're just going to have to take a step backwards type thing to take a step forward. So after that, I think, you know, Cleveland and Pittsburgh is going to battle for the division. I would say Cleveland does get it done just based on the defense more than anything. Not so much the flashy, you know, the flashy stuff on offense. I'm just going by the defensive line and their secondary. It's outstanding, and then I think Pittsburgh finishes second, and then Baltimore, Pittsburgh got kind of close, but I'm higher on the Steelers. Just Big Ben versus Lamar Jackson, obviously. And I did that draft pick they have. I think it's Devin Bush. They got one of those linebackers for Pittsburgh is going to kind of change their defense. And Baltimore lost. The guy went to the Jets, the Alabama linebacker that they had. So it's going to be Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati there.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, obviously everybody's picking up on the Browns. They're up and coming. On paper, they look great. I'm just one of those guys that says prove it to me until something happens. I think Baltimore is going to be pretty good. They always play solid defense under John Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson, you know, I think he's good enough. He makes plays with his legs. He'd probably be improved a little bit as a passer. I don't think he's ready to take over the Ben Roethlisbergers of the world. And so I really like the Steelers in this division. The Bengals seem to be, like you say, rebounding, rebuilding a little bit, kind of in that mode where I don't think they're going to contend, but I like the Steelers in this division this time. The Browns, they play tough D. They got all the weapons on offense, so we'll see how that turns out. And then we'll go down to the AFC South, obviously missing Andrew Luck. That changes this division out a lot. That's the Texans, the Colts, the Jags, and Tennessee.
This is another tough one, although no one really is, to me, scares me. Andrew Luck being out completely, you know, put this division on its head. Tennessee is solid. I think the Colts are solid. Houston, if I was a Texans fan, I'd be extremely, I don't know, annoyed. I'm not sure what they think they're doing. They did bring in, they get rid of Clowney for nothing. Then they kind of turn around and do a decent move, a good move, getting Tunsil at least, but I'm not sure how it's going to play out with their draft picks, et cetera. And one lineman does not an offensive line make. I'm a big Deshaun Watson guy. I think he's good. Defense, obviously, J.J. Watt's awesome. Seems like they always do something in the secondary that kind of blows them games. And Jacksonville, I love their defense. They got they just gave Mac a huge contract. Obviously, the cornerback is awesome. And then they got that one of those linemen who came in. He's still looking for a new deal, but he's betting on himself, so he's in camp. So long-winded way. Oh, and with Nick Foles, they brought in his offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, something like that, from the Eagles. So that's going to help them tremendously as well. I think Jacksonville is going to win the division. Probably Houston, I think, finishes. Houston, Tennessee will battle out for second. And then the Colts will be a very close fourth. But these guys are going to cannibalize each other, and it's going to hurt the team that does not win the division. So it's only going to be one playoff team out of there. And it's going to be, you know, you're looking at maybe 9-7 to win that division just based on they're going to, you know, beat each other up.
Yeah, I think this division, there's more question marks in this division than any other division. I think you don't know what you're going to get with the Jags. I feel like that team really kind of quit by the end of last year. I think Fournette's had issues over there, I think, personally. Obviously, bringing in Nick Foles, their biggest issue all over the years has been not having a quarterback. They have the defense and stuff. So maybe if they can put it together as a team, they can be really good with their defense and with a solid quarterback and with Fournette. But the only question is, by the end of the last year, I don't know what was happening in that locker room over there. And then, you got Deshaun Watson over there for the Texans. Obviously, superstar talent when he's on the field, but hasn't really been able to stay on the field all the time when he's over there. Tennessee, I think Mariota is still a bit of a question mark. We'll see what they can do. They got Big Henry running the ball. They always play tough D, tough coach. I think this one's wide open. Obviously, the missing of Andrew Luck in Indy, it's a tough division to call. I'm gonna go ahead and take Tennessee. I think they've been doing real good the last few years, and I just like the way they play football. They play hard nosed. They play tough football. Some of these other teams have too many question marks. At least what you're gonna get with Tennessee. And then we'll move over to the NFC side. Your spot, Webb, the NFC East. That's the Skins, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Giants.
Obviously, I think the Giants and the Redskins are going to battle out for the bottom of that division. I think the Redskins probably have a better defense. They have a good defense, actually. They got some good studs on that defensive line. They got a couple guys from Alabama. Still got Josh Norman in the cornerback. So I think probably the Giants would finish last. The Redskins a little bit above them. And the Cowboys and the Eagles. I mean, anything I'm going to say is going to be going on the assumption that Ezekiel Elliott is in camp. I think that gets done tomorrow. This week, it'll be kind of a slow news day. Jerry will capitalize on that, and I think you'll see Prescott follow right after. And then Cooper, I think, is going to have to wait. He may be the odd man out in those contracts, especially after they signed Jalen Smith. The Eagles, again, I work down in Philly. They are talking Super Bowl again. They love Carson Wentz, even though he hasn't finished the season yet. Anything I hear, they're stacked talent-wise. They're supposed to have good running backs for the first time in a while. They got rid of their two leading rushers from last year. To me, it's going to be a dogfight. I don't want to sound like a homer. I think the Cowboys edge out the Eagles just based on Wentz's history and just too much hype. I guess maybe I'm being down there, but I think there's a little too much hype, already got them, in the second round of the playoffs for the Eagles. So I think the Cowboys win that division. Barely.
Well, I'll tell you, I think, I know everybody knows you're a Cowboys fan, so I'm going to say not barely. I think this team, the Cowboys team is ready. I think they're the cream of the crop in this division. I love the way they play defense. They're a physical defense. Mm-hmm. I love their linebackers. Obviously, we're assuming Zeke. It seems like the talk between mm-hmm. Zeke and the Cowboys is really heating up here this last week, and so I think he's going to be in camp. I think Dallas takes this division. I think the Giants are going to be better than they were last year, but still not good enough to contend. I think the Redskins, they still don't really have a solid quarterback. I think they're going to have some issues there. And the Eagles will give the Cowboys a little run, but I think I don't think they're good enough to beat the Cowboys. And then Carson Wentz, I'm a fan of his, but he's got to prove that he can be out there for an entire season. He's another one of those guys. So until he does, I'm going to go ahead and take the Cowboys. And you might be hearing a little more about the Cowboys from me when we get to our Super Bowl predictions and stuff like that, too. You never know. I'll be pissing off a lot of people in in the New Orleans here. So we'll see what happens. Move over to the NFC West. Who do you like in that division, Webb?
NFC West, Seattle, San Francisco, the Rams, and the Cardinals. All right, we all know my feelings on the Cardinals. They're going to be the second to worst team in the NFL. Seattle, that was a nice pick to get Clowney. I do think that Pete Carroll is probably top three, four, definitely five best coaches in the league. And these days, with how the league wants parity, which what they have is coaching is one of the major assets you have. So Seattle's going to be right there. San Francisco, I'm not high. I'm not sure what Garofalo's doing. I'm not sure what Lynch is doing. The GM, they do have some, I think they have three first round picks on the defensive line, so they should be good. But again, this is one of the teams for me that's got to show up before really anything happens. Shanahan is the coach. Again, he seems like he did better when he had the headset on, being the number two guy versus the number one guy. But he has had his hands tied in terms of injuries. And then the Rams coming off last year, I think they kind of were exposed a little bit. Belichick kind of showed out-coached the kid, McVay. And I'm still not sold on Jared Goff. I think that Gurley will be back, but not as explosive as he was. I think Cooper Kupp coming back is going to help them as well. But they did lose some guys on defense and some offensive linemen. So the long-winded answer to this is Seattle's going to win this division, even though they only have – this is funny. They only have one quarterback on the roster right now. So I don't know how that even works. So, but, again, they did it with Tavares Jackson a couple times as a backup. So they obviously don't value that position. So Seattle's going to win. Rams close second. Cardinals distant fourth. And then the Niners – maybe a little bit of a wild card, but I don't see them doing too much.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I think in this preseason, we talked earlier on about how we thought San Francisco would be kind of an up-and-coming team with Garoppolo in there, but he's not really looked too impressive in the preseason. He's got a lot to learn. He's got very few games under his belt. I mean, everybody jumped all over him as a backup because he came in a couple times and looked good in New England, so he got the big contract in San Francisco, came out the first few games, looked real good, and then got hurt. So until he proves something, we'll see how that turns out. I agree with you. I think Seattle has a real chance to challenge the Rams this year in that that division. Obviously, Russell Wilson's a great, great quarterback. They always play tough defense up in Seattle. Really tough place to play. And I also like their running back, Penny, the kid he's, I think, in his second year from San Diego State. Man, he just looks super explosive up there. I think he's going to be a real playmaker for them. So I think Seattle gives the Rams a real challenge for this division. Obviously, we all know about the Rams, but I also am not real convinced that Goff is the guy that's going to take them over the top. But we'll see how that turns out. We'll move on over to the NFC North. That's the black and blue division, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings. What do you think on that one?
It's another tough one. These guys are going to kind of cannibalize each other. Certainly the top three teams in the division. You may get two playoff teams out of here. We did talk about it. It's odd to say Green Bay is going to fly under the radar, but I am high on them just based on what they've done on the defense. And I think they have a legitimate running game for the first time, probably in Rodgers' career there. But I did take a look. I mean, I don't know what's going to go on between Rodgers and LaFleur. Obviously, Rodgers is an egomaniac. Not that that matters, but I'm not sure if he's going to, take plays, or when it gets down and dirty, when it's third and five and it's snowing in Chicago, is he going to call the play that LaFleur called, or is he going to audible out? So that's kind of up there. The last three seasons too, they're horrible in their road games, which obviously will crush them in that division. So I'm cautiously optimistic on them. The Bears, everybody loves the Bears. The defense is going to be great. I'm still not sure about the coach Tressman, and I'm still not sure about their skill players, like their wide receivers, and then also Trubisky as well, although he can do some stuff with his legs. Vikings, I am not a Kirk Cousins fan. I do like the Vikings, a little bit of a closet Vikings fan. My buddy Mike Belfi's a big Vikings guy, Minnesota native. So I'm rooting for them. I like their defense. I like the head coach a lot. Detroit, I don't know what's going on there. They're just kind of selling guys off. They're obviously going to be the bottom of the division. So this is a tough one, maybe the toughest one. I'm going to go Chicago and Green Bay, maybe tie Minnesota right there behind them, and then Detroit a distant third there. This is difficult.
Yeah, this is tough, no doubt. Minnesota plays really tough defense. They got a good running game. Cousins is the big question mark. I think he shows signs sometimes, but then sometimes in a big game, man, he just kind of folds up. Obviously, we all know what we have at Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, but so many questions around him. Can he still stay healthy? How's their defense? We really nobody knows. How's he gonna, like you said, how's he gonna get along with the coach? Seems like he's been a kind of a diva a little bit, but maybe that just was dealing with McCarthy. Maybe he'll move on and see what's going on with this new coach. The Bears obviously play great defense, but I think, Trubisky, is he really a guy that's gonna bring you over? They were only one field goal away from doing something big last year. So we'll see. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna go with Cousins. And I'm gonna go with and I'm gonna go with Vikings defense and the running game, and I'm gonna take the Minnesota Vikings in this one. So we'll move on over to the good old NFC South. Webb, we got the Saints, we got the Falcons, we got the Bucks and the Panthers.
It's another tough one. I guess there's three that are really hard. Three divisions. Obviously, the Bucks are going to – I am a Bruce Arians fan, and I think he will get the best out of Jameis Winston, but I just don't – compared to the other three teams in the division, they just don't have the horses at this point. They are going to finish last. Now, the other three, Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, again, these guys are going to beat each other up, which is going to hurt. It's going to be hard. I mean, they may get two teams to the playoffs out of division. But again, it's going to depend on what goes on with the Eagles and the Cowboys, and then the other three in the NFC North as well. Carolina, they have North Turner is a new offensive coordinator, near and dear to my heart from his heyday with the Cowboys. It's going to come back. Is Cam Newton going to, first of all, be healthy, and second of all, buy into what they're asking him to do? If he does, they're going to be very tough. Obviously, Luke Kuechly on defense is a baller, and they got to always have a good D. New Orleans, I'm high on them as well, as long as Breeze stays healthy. Sean Payton, obviously. The offense is right there, and the defense, I think, is more than good enough. Obviously, the Dome is impossible to win. And then Atlanta, I think they bounce back. I think the weak spot there is the head coach. I think Matty Ice is going to have comeback season. Obviously, Julio Jones, I think they've done some good things on the offensive line. Freeman is back to running back. They paid their guys on defense. I think there's a whole – it's just a bunch of positivity going on in that locker room. I think their owner is a positive guy. It speaks to his players in a kind of different way than maybe some of the owners do. He has that gentleman's agreement with Julio to get him paid. So, again, another long-winded way to get – I'm going to go – shit, Atlanta. Atlanta. And then New Orleans and Carolina right there, with Carolina being a wild card. But this is another real tough, very close.
Man, I thought the Hoodats were going to be pissed off with us when I came out with my Super Bowl predictions later on. But I didn't know this early in the show that we'd be one of us would be taking the Falcons in the NFC South. But
should I hire a lawyer?
Yeah. Oh shit. So anyway. So the NFC South, man, you know I'm going with the Saints. They're on paper, they're the best team, man. I'll have issues with them moving forward to the Super Bowl, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I think they are the cream of the crop still in this division. I think Bruce Arians will help Tampa, but their quarterback will not be knocking off Breeze anytime soon. Carolina's a good team, but I just think the Falcons will be better. I think they'll be healthy this year. They're coming back from a totally season where they were totally decimated with injuries, and I think the Saints will come back strong this year. So the Saints are the best team in this division, no doubt, and they will be moving on out of here. So, but there most likely will be a wild card team coming from this division. So let's go, Webb. Who do you think is going to be in a Super Bowl, and who do you think is going to win it?
Oh man, that's a tough one. All right, who do I think is going to be in the Super Bowl? We'll start with the NFC. I'll just jump to it. Who I think is going to be there, and I can kind of break down the teams I think is going to get close. I think the Falcons make the Super Bowl based off of the things I just said. Matty Ice and Julio number one, and I think the defense is poised and angry, upset that the one thing that makes, you know, gives me some pause. Every team has warts. Yeah, every team, there is a ton of parity. I think kicking is going to be very important again this year, obviously from the Bears last year. So I think the Falcons, they just signed a 44-year-old kicker. That shows you what the state of kicking is in the league. They do play in a dome. So I think the Falcons, just based on the defense, Matty Ice and Julio are enough to get there. I think the Cowboys would be my number two pick, again, based on Zeke being there. I think their defense, they got ballers on all three levels. Their offensive line is second to none. Prescott, I think, is getting better. He's a worker. I think he's got the respect of that locker room, obviously. I mean, go on and on about the Cowboys. Cooper's a baller, I think. And, my heart of hearts, I'd like to see it. It's not too much of a reach, I don't think. I'd love to see Jason Witten get a ring. And so those are my top two picks. Right behind them, I have the Saints, Seattle. And then a couple of wild cards in the Packers and Carolina on there. But my number one, and then, number one would be the Falcons, number two would be the Cowboys, and then Saints, Seattle behind them, and then the Pack and Carolina Panthers as kind of wild cards there in the NFC. And then the AFC is a little tighter, I think. I think KC and the Pats are right there. I would give the edge to Kansas City just based on the injury to the center for New England that I mentioned. If you can get in Brady's face, that is the one that is his kryptonite. I do think they're going to have a good offense despite that. I think they just traded for a center from somebody, but he wasn't quite the level of the guy that's out with that blood clot. I think Josh Gordon helps him. I think their defense is going to be great, even though they got the guy. Patrick Chung is going to get put underneath the jail for the cocaine possession thing. And then the two teams behind them, the Browns. You know, we talked about how I think the Browns are. I don't know that they can get to a Super Bowl at this point, just based on some of the knuckleheads they have, and the head coach is young as well. And then my wild card, which is not really a wild card either, there would be Pittsburgh. They've been there before. Again, I think that draft pick linebacker is going to be a total difference maker on the defensive side. And if Big Ben can overcome the loss of AB, I think James Washington's the other receiver, which Juju is going to have a decent year. So I think that's on my wild card. But I, at this point, I think KC is just too stacked. Andy Reid for me there is the one thing, his reluctance to run the ball. It's different. You know, it's like we see in the college games, they're scoring 90 seconds and the defense got to be out there for, you know, 40 minutes of a football game. And come playoff time, that's not going to work, especially against a Bill Belichick coach team like we saw last year. So that's my two picks. Who's going to win it? I'm going to go with the NFC. I'm going to go with the Falcons winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, Webb. This is our first year podcasting. We got, I showed you the other day, like Louisiana, we got a big following here in Louisiana a big percentage of our people here are from Louisiana. And you coming out on our first NFL kickoff show, on our first NFL kickoff show, and picking the damn Falcons to win the Super Bowl?
I can't pick the Cowboys. Gotta do it.
I thought they were going to be pissed off when I make my predictions. I had no idea. I had no idea we were going to give him the double, the left and the right, the one and we were going to give him the one and a two.
That's my job. I'm here to take a bullet for you. That's what I'm doing.
I thought I was going to piss off Saints fans.
It's all right. They're already pissed off.
All right. Here's my predictions for the Super Bowl. You ready? I'm throwing it back. We're going throwback. We're throwing it back. Right. We're going back to the 70s.
All right, I got a good idea where you're at just based off that. So.
All right. We're going to Steelers and the Cowboys.
That's not even that far back. That was Mike Reed's wedding. We get in Bahamas.
All right, we're going old school. We're going Dallas, Steelers and the Cowboys. And the Steelers are going to beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl because I can't possibly pick the Cowboys, although I do think they are up and coming. Like I mentioned earlier, I love the way they play defense. I think Dak and Zeke have enough to get them going on offense. I think they're going to cruise through that division. That should give them a few 4 or 5 wins pretty easily, not 6. They'll probably split with Philly. As far as the Steelers go, obviously Big Ben's there before. They got that whole problem with Antonio Brown. Obviously he's a great player, but got that out of the building. I love the running backs with Samuels and Connors. I love Devin Bush, the rookie they got from Michigan you were talking about earlier, the linebacker from Michigan. And I love their coach too. I like the Steelers kicking it out of the AFC against the Cowboys, and the Steelers are going to win the 2019/2020 Super Bowl. So you hear it here first. All right, now we're going to kick right into this week's games. Week number one in the NFL starts out the Packers +3, totals 46. They head into Chicago to play the Bears on Thursday night. How's that looking?
Yep, Thursday night, Green Bay at Chicago. Bears -3, -120. This is tough, man. I mean, a total's 46. When I look at the four options here, I think the under may be the strongest play, under 46, based on the defense. I think the Packers are going to run the ball more than we've seen, and their defense is going to be much improved. Although the weather will be nice in Chicago, that three is right on. I think the Bears would probably cover. If I had to take a team, I'd take the Bears, but the lean I have on this game is under 46.
Yeah, I'd agree. We mentioned the other day that we'll be giving you a play for most every primetime game, no matter what. It doesn't mean that's sort of like, you know, guys use their five-star player, their lock of the week, or anything like that. Doesn't mean that, but we're going to be coming up with picks every time. I think the Bears at home, it's a really tough situation when you go on the road in that opening Thursday night game. I had the number with me earlier. I forget what it was. That home team almost always wins and covers. with just a few exceptions. So for that reason, mostly I'm going to take the Bears plus the 3. And like you said, the under, I think, is looking like a good number in this one. I'm not necessarily going to say this is one of our top picks of the week or anything like that, but obviously it's the opening Thursday night game. You're going to be putting a little bit of stuff on this. And so we'll go with the unders and Bears on that one. Looking into Sunday, we got the Titans at the Browns. The Browns are minus 5.5, and the total is 45.5.
This is another tough one, 45. And I don't know what's going to go on with that number. Again, I look at that number and I think under, just based on the, I think I've been talking about the Browns defense this whole time. And Tennessee's defense is always pretty good. I know the Browns are going to come out and throw and light it up for 28 or 31 points. I think the Browns cover this and under. So those are my, again, slight lean. I'm not 100% on this. It's a tough game, but if gun to my head, I'm going Browns minus the 5.5, and then under 45.5 as well.
Wow. All right. Let me tell you, one of the things I look at early in the NFL season when I'm gambling is I look for teams that have been a lot of hype, maybe overvalued, and then I look for teams that might be undervalued, maybe flying under the radar a little bit. This game's got the Browns minus 5.5. I think nobody's talked about the Titans. They did really good in their division last year. Everybody's talking about the Browns. I mentioned it earlier. Until they prove to me something during a regular season game, I think their offensive line is issues. The Titans play really tough up front on defense. They got a good running game. Obviously, the Browns, I think, have a very underrated defense, though, as well. But I actually like taking the points in this one. We're going to have to disagree on this one. I like the Titans plus the 5.5, but Weber likes the Browns.
How many points are the Titans going to score?
They'll score 20.
They'll score 20 points?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right.
Little side bet.
All right. Well, this is our first. Nothing means we have to. Nothing says we have to agree on every pick. So, yep. I'll take the Titans plus the points opening day until the Browns prove to me something. I mean, they look flashy in the preseason. Everybody's jumping all over them. There are people's pick for some reason. This team hasn't been at 500 in 20 years. They were 7-8-1 last year.
I don't see the Titans lifting any Lombardi trophies recently.
All right. Well, we'll see how that one turns out. I'm marking it down. That's one Webb and Smith battle. All right. We're moving over. We've talked about the woes of the Dolphins. That's probably what the Ravens are minus 6.5 in this one. Dolphins just traded away Tunsil and Stills. They named Fitzpatrick as their quarterback, meaning Rosen. They know they don't have anything there. You got Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram going on for the Ravens. How do you feel about that?
This might be, it's weird to say. This might be the easiest game of the weekend. It's weird to say that opening weekend, a road team. But I think the Dolphins have just completely punted on this season. Fitzpatrick's going to throw at least one pick. I don't know who's blocking for him. I don't know who's running the ball. I don't know who's catching the ball. Ravens going to win this one. I don't want to say it's pretty easy. I think Lamar Jackson has a pretty good day. They're going to card. This is helpful. This is a fortunate draw for the Ravens to get them going in the right direction. They're going to win and cover this game.
Yeah, I agree totally. I talked about the issues the Dolphins are having. I like the Ravens. This game, you hate to come out opening week and then lay almost a touchdown on the road in the NFL. But this is one that I feel like is definitely a pick that we should put as one of our top picks of the week. I like the Ravens minus the 6.5 in this one. Moving on, we got Atlanta's going to Minnesota. Atlanta's plus 4. How you feel about that?
This is another one we talked about, similar to the that Chicago Green Bay game. These guys are going to kind of beat each other up in the division all year long. I'm not a Cousins fan. I was actually upset when he left the Redskins. Falcons, I got 3.5 here. The Falcons, like I said, I have high expectations for them this year. Opening weekend, this is a difficult 47.5 too. This number is tough. Gun to my head, I'll take the 3.5, I guess. I'll just take that half point. But I have no lean on this game whatsoever.
Okay, sounds good. That's a kind of a toss-up. I think that number is pretty solid there. Minnesota, obviously at home, should have a little bit of an advantage. But we'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll come to back to that one if we're running low on picks later on. We got the Bills, two teams that I think are up and coming teams this year, the Bills and the Jets. Jets are laying 3 at home, and the total's 40 in this one. How do you feel about this?
I think the Jets win this game and cover just based on it's a home game. They do have some talent on the offense, but on both sides of the ball, actually. I like their defense. They got those. They have the Williams guys, the rookie, and then the guy they had from USC. They brought the linebacker over from the Ravens, from Alabama kid. I forget his name. And then I love their secondary. They have the LSU guy, your LSU guy in the secondary. I've been a fan of Darnold for a while. Obviously, they got Le'Veon Bell and those receivers. Quincy is kind of underrated guys. Not that the Bills aren't going to be more than competitive. I just think based on a home, the Jets fans are going to be going crazy, livid. One game, first game of the season. I'm going to go with the home team to cover the 3 points in this one. It's a decent play, I think, actually.
All right, cool. I like both of these quarterbacks. I think Josh Allen and Darnold are kind of up-and-coming guys. I think the teams are kind of up-and-coming. I think Bills let go Shady McCoy yesterday. That was a bit of a surprise, but I think Singletary, the rookie running back for them, has shown real good in camp, and they think they have a good young talent there, and they didn't want to pay McCoy so much. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell coming into the Jets makes them better. I like the Jets in this spot, too, but also I'm looking at the over. The 40 points in this, I think both offenses will be much improved. I think both teams play solid defense, but I really like the over in this game.
I like the over more than I like the under, I'll say that. But the defenses are going to be good. And you know what? Buffalo does have some new weapons on offense. They brought in my guy Cole Beasley, and they brought in another receiver. They did get rid of Shady, but I think that was more a financial and an older. He's a little bit older, and he's banged up a lot, too. Defenses are good, but I think over is a decent play. Yeah, I think they could both probably get 24-17, something like that. It'll be close, but I think that's a good play.
All right, moving on. We got the right here in your NFC East division. The Skins are catching 8.5 to Philly.
I got 9 here and 45.5. Yeah, the number, I certainly think Philly's going to win the game. Keenum is the quarterback for the Redskins. I don't think they have anybody at the skill position. Their left tackle still holding out. I don't know how, I guess another question I ask myself, how many points are they going to score? Are they going to score 14? Can they get to 17? The Eagles defense is going to be good. I think the Eagles should cover the 9, actually. Not the strongest play. The 45.5, I would probably go under that. But again, not the strongest play. If this was 7, I'd be all over the Eagles. I know it's kind of silly the percentage there from 7 to 9 is different. I would take the Eagles though, and under again. I know it's not sexy to say all these unders, but these defenses I think are better than the offenses certainly early on. So Eagles, any under would be the plays there. But Eagles higher, Eagles heavier.
All right, I'm gonna disagree with you on this one just because I don't think anything about the Skins. I think they're gonna be struggling this year, and I think Philly's gonna be a pretty solid team. But when I think two NFC East teams are battling, and one of them's laying 9 points. I think if you take this points, and we'll see another game in NFC East like this later on with a lot of points involved. These are two rivalry teams. Opening day, I think if you take the points, you get to play the percentages there and take the points in that one. But we can punt on that. We'll move on to the Rams -3 at the Panthers, and that's a total of 50. We'll see how that looks.
Yeah, 50.5 and 3. This is a weird one, too. It depends. If this game was later in the season, I think I would easily jump on the Panthers. That 50 seems high to me. I hate to keep going to the under, but I think in this game, I'm going to take the Panthers +3 just coming off. They got to fly all the way to the other coast, the Rams, a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. Very good defense for Carolina, and they do have playmakers. DJ Moore is the receiver, obviously, along with McCaffrey. I'm going to take the Panthers there. I think this is a decent play, too, actually, the more I look at it, think about it. The total, I don't want to keep saying under, but I think under. I don't know the Rams are going to score 35 points in this game. Maybe we'd get to 24, 27, something like that. So it could go over, but I like the Panthers here.
Yeah, actually, I agree totally with both of your picks on this one. I like the Panthers as a home dog in this. They play solid D. Obviously, if Cam comes back and is healthy, McCaffrey. We know what we got with the Rams. Everybody loves the Rams. That's why they're laying points on the road opening day. I think not too many people have talked about the Panthers. They play tough D. And I'm all over this under. The under 50 points, I think that's a solid play. Panthers like to run the ball. As long as they don't get down too bad early, I think they'll stick with the run and stick with the short dink and dunks. That kills the clock a lot. And I don't see the Rams going into Carolina and just dominating offensively. So I think this is going to be a tough, hard-fought game. But I definitely like the Panthers plus the 3, and actually I like the under 50 in this one. So we both agree on that one. That'll probably be a good chance. That'll be one that we use in our picks. Moving on, interesting AFC matchup. We got the Chiefs go down there to Jacksonville. What do you think about that?
This is interesting, too. It's a tough one. I talked about Jacksonville, their defense. I do like their defense. They do have playmakers at all three levels. Now the offense, that's a different story. I'm not as big, as high on Nick Foles as most. He is certainly serviceable. But the interesting thing is that they did bring his offensive coordinator over from the Eagles, which I thought was huge. And Fournette, we mentioned him earlier. I think he kind of had a, you know, come to Jesus, whatever moment. I think he's lost some weight. He realized that this isn't a gimme. He got to kind of work at this thing. I do think he's talented. Everything I've read, everything I've heard, it seems to have bought in. So they're going to be good, I think. Kansas City, on the flip side of that, I think is just completely stacked, aside from the defensive backfield. So they did bring in Steve Spagnuolo. He's been with the Giants, got a bunch of different guys. He does have he's a good defensive coordinator. I think they'll be better if they can get to a top 15 D. They're going to be real tough to beat. This game is difficult. I don't really have a feel one way or the other. I think I would probably go over the 52 if I had to. But I don't have a lean really anyway. Chiefs, if this wasn't on the road the first week of the season, I would take the Chiefs just to see how the defense is playing. But I would punt and just take the over on this one. Not too much of a lean on the game itself.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel much anyway. Obviously, everybody knows about the Chiefs. But the Jaguars are such a question mark at this point with Foles and the defense. And like I say, the way they played last year was so inconsistent to what it feels like they have in the locker room. This is definitely a toss-up for me, so we'll move on. The Colts battle the Chargers, obviously the Andrew Luckless Colts. Chargers are minus 7 and totals 44.5 on this.
This is another kind of a weird one. I'm not sure the psyche of the Chargers right now, just off that Derwin James injury. 6.5 to the Colts. Well, and they say that, and they got the Colts on the other end of this. 6.5 is a decent number. I would take the charge. I think they're going to come out, give it their best fight to start with. If it starts good for them, I think they could kind of roll this and keep it going. 43.5, I don't know. I don't have too much of a feel on that number. I'm going to stay away from that. But I think the Chargers can win by a touchdown in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Chargers by a touchdown in this. This is no knock on Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, there's a good chance the Colts could come out and really try and prove something to the world. Like, you know, hey, you know, even without Andrew Luck, we're going to be able to be all right and keep plugging away. But yeah. I think the Chargers might just have too much for them without Andrew Luck in this spot. And, you know, covering by a touchdown is not too big a number to cover.
This is a big game for both teams, Smith, just in terms of, you know, where their head's going to be at. If the Colts can somehow win this game, then all of a sudden, you know, that could generate some momentum. And same thing can be said for the Chargers. They can come and beat a solid team like the Colts. Like I said, Brissett is more than serviceable. And they got a real good defense, the Colts. So,
right. Can you look at this game? And you can see the winner really propelling them for the rest of the season and kind of setting the tone for the rest of the season. But also, whoever loses this game, whichever team it is, it's definitely a setback and a letdown, and we'll see how it moves on through the rest of the season. Another game out west, the Bengals travel to the Seahawks, and Seahawks are laying 9.5. That total's at 44.
9.5, 44.5, the Bengals, like we said, Dalton gets kicked around, but he is what he is. He's a middle of the pack quarterback. They have a new head coach here too, Zach T- Taylor, I think his name is. I'm not sure. They're a bit of a wild card. I know AJ Green is hurt. They did not put him on the IR, so he'll be back this season. I think the Bengals, you know, top down, or they understand this is going to be, let's see what we got, kind of, we thought we were something, nothing ever really materialized. Let's take a step back and kind of reevaluate things. Seattle, on the other hand, the Clowney trade, obviously, you know, we mentioned Pete Carroll earlier. They're good, tough place to play. They're going to be fired up in Seattle. Cowboys beat them in the playoffs last year. So I'm going to jump on. I'm going to lay the 9.5 here. Maybe buy it down to 9, lay the 120. And, you know, look, Seattle get that at least a 10-point win. 44.5. Again, no feeling on that. It should probably go over, but you know, based on the rules of the league. But there's no need to really mess with that. I think if you got Seattle minus the 9.5.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, this first game of the season, you really don't know what you have with these teams. It's all speculation at this point. Obviously, the Bengals have a veteran quarterback. He's not the best quarterback in the world, like you said, but he's been there. He's been through a lot, and he can play well enough to make this game close. I like the Seahawks this year. Talked about it earlier that I think they'll definitely challenge for that division in the NFC West. But I just think early in the season, 9.5, why not just take the big points and go with the Bengals? So that's how I feel on that one. So we're going to disagree on that one there. Moving on to another game, the Giants travel to the Cowboys. Your Cowboys, Zeke is not in camp yet, but I feel like I saw Adam Schefter mention yesterday that the talks have really heated up a lot. I think the G-men will be much better than they were last year. They can't be any worse. That game's at 7 and 45.5.
Yeah, I think just based on everything I'm reading, I saw the Schefter report as well. Any Cowboy insider stuff I'm reading, they said get it done supposedly this weekend. I'm hopefully waiting to hear it, you know, any second to see he signed. He will be ready to play, I'm sure. Maybe a little bit of a lighter workload than he would normally get this weekend. I do think the Giants are going to be a little better than people think, than maybe what I think, but that they're not getting 8 games, 8 wins. I think now -7 is different. I don't know. It's always kind of a tough fought game. Since we're doing a show, I will make, normally I wouldn't pick a pick on this game. The Cowboys will win by 7 or cover 45.5. I think the Cowboys are going to score some points. That number's right there. I'm not sure how many points the Giants. I would go over 45.5, and then I would take the Cowboys in this game, just again based off their defense more so than defensive offensive line more so than anything else.
All right, I'm going to go against you on this one again. I talked about earlier the NFC East. A lot of these games are close, and the lay in the 7. I like the Giants catching the touchdown in this one just to keep it close. We don't really know what these teams have. I've already mentioned that I like the Cowboys moving forward, but I just think NFC East opening week, I think the Giants are going to be improved. They can't, like I said, it can't be much better, much worse than they were last year. And so I would if I was forced to take a pick in this game, I'd take the points. Moving on, they got the Lions travel out west. Sometimes it's a tough place to play in Arizona in the early part of the season. It's so hot out there. But Lions are laying 2.5, and Cardinals are 47.5, or the total's 47.5.
It's a weird one. I'm not sure that Detroit should be favored against anybody, especially out there on the road. I mean, I don't know who they have aside from Matthew Stafford. I'm not sure if there's a more overrated player. I mean, I do like him. He's made, a couple $100 million. He certainly looks the part, can throw the ball from, you know, goal line to goal line. But I don't know if he's ever won a playoff game. He used to beat my man Romo up for that. They haven't looked good. Arizona, again, we talked about how I don't think they're going to be very good either. Road game, home game there for them out there in the desert. This is a tough one for me. 47.5. You know what? I would go over in this. I think the quarterback for the Cards is going to run around a bit and just heave the ball deep a bunch of times to Larry Fitzgerald. Maybe David Johnson breaks loose for a play. And I think the same with Stafford's just going to fire the ball around. So maybe a couple scores, touchdowns. I don't have a feel for the game itself. If I, you know what? Detroit and then Detroit and you over slight lean, not a big play.
Right, I agree. I mean, we talked about how much we think the Cardinals are going to struggle, but we talked about a little bit about the Lions, too, doing the same thing. But I like the over in this one. I think both teams will be making plays. I don't see this be a ground-and-pound type of game for sure. No doubt that Kingsbury is going to be trying to get his offense rolling. And it, no matter what happens, even if a team gets up early, the other team, like you say, is just going to be throwing the ball. I don't see either of these two teams coming out and say, man, the way to win this game is just really pound the rock and kill the clock and play D. This is going to be a high-scoring game, I think, out there in the desert. So we'll agree on the over on this one is 47.5. Moving on, they got the Niners travel to the Bucks. I'm looking at even and 50 right now.
Niners in it. This is another kind of weird one for me. Again, we talked about the wild card that, you know, Garoppolo can be in the Niners. Same can be said for the Bucks. They do have some offensive talent. We're both fans of Arians. I just don't know. I think the Niners' strong suit would be their defense just based off their draft picks, you know, number one draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. I don't have a feel for this game at all. 49.5 is, I think, is high, but the Bucks' defense was shitty. I don't know who the Niners, who's catching the ball, stuff like that. I'm going to kind of punt on this game, I think. I don't have any lean. I can't really give you too much on this one.
Okay, I'm not feeling anything myself about the total, but I do like the Bucks. I like the Bucks at home. We talked a little bit about how we think Arians might rub off on Jameis Winston a little bit. Until Garoppolo, until the Niners prove something to me, I'm gonna wait and see on them. You know what you got with the Bucks. Obviously, Jameis Winston's been prone to mistakes. Maybe he'll clean that up a little bit. I think opening day, the Niners traveling all the way to Tampa. I like the Bucks just to win this game at home. For no other reason than we know what we got with them, and we don't know what we have with San Francisco. Moving on to Sunday night, a big AFC matchup, two teams that seem to always be in playoff contention. You got the Pats and the Steelers, and that game's at 51.5.
Yep, 51. That's a big number. I don't. Are the Patriots going to start running the ball again like they did in the Super Bowl? Which I think is certainly possible. Again, we talked about the center being hurt. I think if they can overcome that, they'll terms of the season, they'll be fine. I do think they win the game, 5.5. I'm actually gonna take the points here. I think I'm gonna take the Steelers to keep it close. Maybe a backdoor cover here. New England's up 10 or something with a couple minutes left, and then a touchdown by the Steelers to keep it close, and then Lynn kind of runs it out. 51 points. I don't have too much of a lean there. I don't know what the Steelers' offense is exactly going to look like. I would hope they get back to running the ball more than they have in the past. I'm going to stay away from the total, but I will take the Steelers plus the 5.5.
Yeah, I agree. I think anytime you get a team like the Steelers getting points, I know this is obviously the Patriots, and it's their home opener, and it's Sunday night and all that stuff. But 5.5, 6 points, if you can get that. Pittsburgh is a solid team. I already told you I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know that they'll win this game, but I think it'll be close. It's worth taking points in this. I would have thought 3 or 4, not that 5 or 6 is that much different than 3 or 4, but I just like the Steelers catching a few points in this one. Moving on, we got two games Monday night. I'll be at the Superdome to watch the Texans battle the Saints. Saints are -7, and I'm looking at 53.5.
7-53. This one, I think, is I don't want to say easy, but I think the Saints win this game and cover. I'm not as high on the Texans as most. Watson is good. J.J. Watt's a stud. No Clowney. Clowney's more of a flash player than me than a solid every down guy. The Houston Texans organization, I think, is a complete mess. They don't have a GM. I'm not sure how that works. I think they kind of made a mess of the whole Clowney situation. Their offensive line, even with Tunstall, is a mess. I think the Cowboys had 10 sacks against them in a preseason game. I had at least 8. I think 7 of them were in the first half alone. The Saints are going to beat them up pretty good here. This is going to be a pretty easy one, I think. 53, that's a number. I don't know how many the Houston's going to get to. It'll be closer to 53, but I do think the Saints, I like the Saints here pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. That dome is going to be rocking Monday Night Football. First time since the no call that everybody's been talking about. Hopefully there'll be more people there in Saints jerseys than in referee jerseys.
Right.
I'll be in there. I'll be in that number. Monday night. And I think the Saints cover 7 in this one. Really get off to a good start. Sometimes the Saints struggle a little bit in the opening week of the season. I think they take this one at home on Monday night. And then moving on to the final game of the week, I wish every Monday night had two Monday night football games, but they just don't. The Broncos and Raiders are even, and total is 43.
All right, well, I'm gonna defer to my co-host here and his love or affinity for the Denver Broncos this season. John Gruden's a clown. I don't know what they're doing on offense. And or defense, I guess, actually. I think their offensive line is decent. I would think they would try to run the ball. I don't think Gruden has any confidence in Derek Carr. And I think that probably messes with Derek Carr's head. Just talent aside, I think the Broncos have more talent certainly on the defensive side of the ball. Lindsey is a good running back for the Broncos. Flacco, not nearly as high. And it's Smith, I'm not sure who he's throwing the ball to. But just based off of the shabbiness of the Raiders and the good Broncos defense, I think this is a pretty easy victory for Denver, even though it's week one in kind of, we're even playing this game. I don't even know. I like the Broncos and the total 43. I don't really see any, I don't know how many points again where the Raiders are going to score. I wouldn't touch the total. But I like the Broncos pretty good here. This may be one of the better, easier picks again of the week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mentioned earlier how I feel about the Broncos. I like Flacco's addition to that team. I like their defense. I like the running back, Lindsey. I think they take care of business in this one. So that's one we agree on. So, all right, that's the end of the week. We'll look back and see some of the picks we agree on. So we both agreed on Monday night. That's the Broncos and the Saints.
Yep.
That's two plays right there.
Yep.
We both agree on the Steelers, and those are all of our primetime games right there. Steelers catching the points from the Pats. We agreed on the Ravens.
Yep.
Minus the 6.5 over the Dolphins. We both like the Jets minus 3.
I like that.
We both like the Panthers plus the 3. And then we got a few totals here. I think we both liked over in the Cards game. Cards Lions.
Yes.
Okay. And then we both liked the under in the Panthers Rams.
Yep.
And I believe we both liked the over in the Jets Bills, if I'm not mistaken. That's 40.
Yep.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 plays for this weekend coming up. We got the Steelers catching a few points from the Pats, the Ravens laying to the Dolphins, the Jets laying a few to the Bills, the Panthers plus 3 over the Rams. We got the Saints. We got the Broncos on Monday night, over Jets 40, under 50 for the Panthers, and over Cars 47.5. So that should get you going on the first weekend of NFL football. Stay tuned with us next episode. We're going to be covering a little bit of UFC 242, and also that'll be our college football week 2 show. Remember, you can catch us on Apple, Spotify, Podbeam, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and more. You can also see us on YouTube. Check us out at the Wager Makers Podcast on Facebook, the Wager Makers on Twitter, Instagram at the Wager Makers, and you can email us any questions at all, fantasy football, anything you got, at thewagermakers@gmail.com. Webb, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, please. Anyone, any questions on individual game? We'd love to chat. Just shoot us an email. Like you said, college football, MLB races, NFL, obviously UFC, anything and everything. And then you want to give, we want to see if we can get a solid pick for Monday night or Thursday night, rather. Packs and Bears.
That's true. That's true. Yep. I think, go ahead. I thought we both said the Bears. I mentioned that the Bears, minus the 3. But I didn't mention that. Is that what we like? Is that what we like in that one?
I think so. I mean, I think the under, I think, is something I would think of too, just based on both defense early on. But I guess probably out of the four, I think the Bears minus the 3 would probably be the strongest pick there. So I think.
Okay. Yeah. My bad. We forgot to mention in all those games we like the Bears minus the 3, and we both like the under in that game as well. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You mean 2 + 9 = 11? And that gives us 11 plays for next week. Well, if that doesn't get you started for the first weekend, I don't know what will.
That's right.
So hopefully we kick some butt next week in NFL football, and you guys will all listen to us again next week. So thank you all for listening. Hope you come back soon. Look, if you like the show, tell a couple friends. That's all it takes. You tell 2 friends, and you too tell 2 friends. Webb, say goodbye.
Later, people. Thanks so much. See you soon. Go Cowboys.
All right. Thank you for listening. Let's go. Let's have a great NFL season. We'll talk to you all next time.